Welcome back, everyone, to this 41st episode of Guildcast. I'm your host, Sean, and with me once again is Ruby. How you doing, Ruby?
Hi, welcome home.
Oh, thank you. Yes, it's good to be home.
You're all world traveler now.
Yeah, kind of. So I went to Iceland last week, and that's why we didn't have a show. But I'm back, and it's good to be back.
Yay!
Because, of course, we have our roundtable show, which is what we, we look forward to that every month, once a month. And this week, what we're going to talk about is the whole Embark Beach update with Embark Beach had the seven hero parties, had the mercenary heroes, all that stuff. Lots of good stuff. And so we're going to talk about that. Plus, we're also going to talk a little bit about some of the more recent updates, especially that April Fool's thing, which was so beautiful.
So cool.
So let's start and go down the line here and introduce everyone who is joining us. And we have a repeat. We have Yo from a previous roundtable. How you doing there, Yo?
Oh, I'm good, thank you. I kind of forgot about this. So I'm flying by the seat of my pants here. But I'm glad to be back.
That's okay. So. We are too. So it's a normal thing on Guildcast.
Yeah,
right,
we kind of it seems to work well, so we stick with it.
Oh, well, it makes things exciting.
And we have two others. We have Christian and Squirrel. How you guys doing?
I'm good. My name's Christian. I go in-game by Mortarpack Necrosis. I don't have anything else to pimp because I'm just your average poor college student, but I'm opinionated, so that's good.
Yeah, that's our favorite kind.
Yeah. And I'm the other Christian here on the show today. You might recognize me if you listen to Relics of Awe. I've been on there a few times, and that's why Sean's going to refer to me as Squirrel today, because that's my online game, Sea Squirrel Run.
Yeah, because we have, what are the chances? We have two people named Christian on the show. Last time we had two Daniels. Now we have two Christian. You were just on Relics of Awe. Was that the most recent episode?
Yeah.
Cool. Did that release yet?
Yeah, that did release yesterday my time.
Oh, okay, cool. Cool. So after this, you're going to be able to tell us who you like better, right?
Now, see, I'm not going to put you on that kind of pressure. I'm just so you know who your favorite is.
Yeah.
No, just kidding. No,
Ruby's in the lead.
Cool. We're going to just talk about this new update and, newish. I guess it's almost a month old now. And then, of course, some of the newer ones. Maybe we should do that. Before we get into that big Embark Beach update, let's kind of touch on what we think of this April Fool's thing. I think it was great. I think, what it is basically this commando thing. They said there's a commando class, the new profession, and it's straight out of Call of Duty, and it's very, like, they had this, the golem that was supposed to be kind of like T-1000, coming back in time to the Asura Gate, and looking for Gwen's mother, Sarah. I mean, it was like this whole, Terminator thing. It was really cool. What do you guys think about this?
Worst date ever.
You don't like
that's
it?
That's hilarious. No, that's what one of the characters said in the video.
Oh, yeah.
I think I tweeted that morning. I said on Twitter, ArenaNet wins. Everybody else can just go home.
Oh, yeah. They won April Fool's.
They did. I don't know why anybody else even bothered after that.
So what about the rest of you? What do you think?
Well, April 1st is actually my birthday, so I always look forward to seeing what ArenaNet does with Guild Wars, because it's like an extra birthday present for me.
And they always do it so well. Like, they had the stick figure one, they had the gender-switching one. What else did they do?
The mini pet one last year.
Oh, yeah,
that was awesome.
That was great.
That was great. We were all Chibi Gwens the year before that.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man. It was so cool. But this absolutely blew everything out of the water.
Yeah, they went above and beyond with this one. I mean, they had all the skills and all the music and all the helicopters versus the old the Shadower. Oh, that was just well done.
Yeah. And it's all, like, in-game. I mean, it's the videos. When I first saw the videos, I was like, wow, this is amazing. They did this, for the videos. But then they actually made the quests out of it. They went in-game, and it was like, that's just crazy.
The coolest thing to me, there were so many awesome things, I can't even pick one. But what was so funny is that we were all expecting just, we log in and our avatars are going to look funny. And I was with two other officers in the Guild Wars Guild, and the three of us were partied up, and we're running all over. We're zoning in and out of the Guild Hall and running in and out of Lion's Arch and going to Embark Beach, trying to figure out what they had done to our characters. We were doing everything, going, what did they do? Is our armor different? Did they do something to our weapons? We just knew. I mean, you know, that's because of years past. That's what we had expected.
Yeah.
And you just ran straight past the helicopter and Embark Beach?
No, it hadn't happened yet. That was
okay.
And so then we were standing in Embark Beach. We were in AD1 anyway when the commando information dropped, and then they said, you know, go to Embark Beach and look for Bane. So we did not move. we all just stood there in AD1 going, something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. Let's just wait. Let's watch it. And for like 20 minutes.
But then you had to log out and log back in, right?
Yes, but we got to be there for the devs coming in and screaming at us. But it was really, really neat because even the method of the April Fool's Day prank, they got us with that because it was so different from past years.
Yeah.
And it was completely unexpected.
Yeah.
But did you also notice that in one of the skill videos that they were showing off the swimming animation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My husband was like, hey, did you see the jiggle physics on that? Yes, I saw the jiggle physics.
I think that's what they coined it, actually, jiggle physics. I know that they actually kind of got me because I just saw it yesterday, so I wasn't, like, on it, I guess. But it was, like, commando class revealed, and I've been expecting, like, that gunner class for, like, 3 months now.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, right here. And then I was like, no, but then I watched them all. I was like, they put in a lot of work, and the quest is amazing, and I love it.
Well, even like the German fan site, was it War Tower? They did the alchemist profession. They did like a joke alchemist page, and I believed that one for a second because I looked at it and I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. And then I mean, I couldn't read any of it because it was all in German, so I didn't know what it was saying. But I was just looking at the pictures and I was like, oh, but yeah, Ruby was like, April Fools.
There was a Shadowmancer, too. I forget who did that one, but that one was very well done.
Yeah.
Okay, so who wants to see Commando armor in the NC Soft store? I would totally buy that.
Bulletproof vest. Yeah.
Well, at least the costume.
Yeah,
that's. I want that costume with the arena on the chest and the riot shield.
I think we should all get that and then go to Alona and we can act like we're in Fallout.
That's true. I do that anyway. I don't know.
Yeah, that's why I don't play with you anymore.
You know, what's funny is I got a lot of email from people who really thought that this was real. I mean, I got a couple of them that were convincing me that they thought it was real, but there were a few others that I think they were just kind of going along with the joke.
Yeah.
But I was just wondering about in the forums, were there any people who were like, wow, this is a really great class, like they really thought it was real, or what?
There were a few here and there. People explained to it pretty, pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Settle down, because you can't play a commando.
Yeah.
So the thing that in the forums that bothered me, and it was not prevalent at all, a lot of people were mad. Not a lot. I take that back. A few people were mad. You know, this is a waste of my time. You get us all excited about this class, and then it's a fake.
Some people are stupid. Yeah. Yeah.
Have some fun with this. This is awesome.
Yeah. And so, you know, if they can put that much time into this prank, then that means they're done with Guild Wars 2, right?
Right.
should be coming out next week. You're here first.
I think this was a good chance for the developers to kick back and relax and kind of stretch their creative wings and break genre a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably a good little deviation for them.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Besides, I mean, people got to realize that, I mean, ArenaNet, a lot of the staff have a good sense of humor. I can look over the, for the people who are listening, I'm part of the Future Poly course now, and on their their agreement, they've got level 7 wizards must turn in their staffs to administration. So,
nice.
By all means, they've got a great sense of humor, and they use it at every opportunity. So, I mean, cut the guys some slack. I mean, don't take it too seriously.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's good that we know that, and we've already, always known what kind of a sense of humor they have, you know, a lot of the quests and a lot of pop culture stuff, but when they do stuff like this every year, it's like they top themselves, so
yeah,
it's always cool to see.
I wonder what they're going to do when Guild Wars comes out. I mean, I'd like to see the April Fools on when Guild Wars 2 actually finally comes out.
Yeah,
what, how they're going to top themselves there. But
you know, it'd be just like them to announce launch next April 1st and be dead serious about it. What are you guys laughing at? We were serious.
Only if their April Fool's joke is like it's releasing next month, then people will be like, oh yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, right.
Well, hopefully by next April 1st, we'll already know the launch date.
Oh, I mean, my gosh!
Seriously.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Can we talk about, like, the actual quest part of it? Because the whole time I was playing it, all I heard was Ruby's voice in my head when you talked about the Kieran Thackeray Hearts of the North quest. I was like, this is so preparation for Guild Wars 2. Because the whole time I'm thinking, like, there's no healer here, and I have to heal this guy and, like, heal me, but be damaged.
See, you're right.
Yeah.
I was thinking the same thing. It's absolutely preparation for that. The only thing I would have loved to see is that it be either a dual or group quest, because I want to play with cross-profession combos like we did with Miku in Hearts of the North.
Yeah, I was looking for that, too. I was like, so what skill can I use with him? And I was like, no, I think we have the same ones.
Yeah.
But it's fine.
But yeah, it is. You're absolutely right, and I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
I have to say too that I don't know how quickly it dawned on everybody else when that golem bellowed out Sarah. That's when all the pieces fell into place for me. I didn't realize what was happening. I didn't realize the whole Terminator thing.
Oh.
Until he and then like this giant light bulb went on over my head. Did everybody else figure that out sooner than I did?
No, I was about the same.
Okay.
I did when he said, like, the Char trying to stop her from being born. I was like, I've seen this before.
Yeah. See, I feel like it should have hit me then, and it didn't until I saw Sarah on my screen and went, oh.
Well, in all honesty, I wasn't paying particular attention to the text in the chat log. I was too busy trying to figure out what these skills were and what they were doing.
Trying not to die. Yeah, you didn't have very many minutes to get used to that.
I like that we also got to go back to pre-searing because, I mean, we don't get to use that enough. And we got to see the Guild Wars a little more, which that's always fun.
And it's so pretty there.
Yeah.
It is. It made me sad to see the Crichtons killing each other. Did anybody else notice that your mission map was post-searing?
Yeah.
Oh.
It was kind of cool. And I wish I had had more time. I'm actually going to try to do it tonight just to kind of run around and compare. I don't know if I can get away from the warring Crichtons, but we'll see.
That ends tomorrow, right? We're recording this on Sunday.
Yeah, tomorrow at noon.
Yeah. Well, I think that's cool the way they added that. I don't know if you remember, Ruby, or if anybody here listened to Guildcast way, like, 20 years ago when I first started, but there was an April Fool's I did a couple years back, and I was talking about the next expansion for Guild Wars, and I explained it, but it was like Back to the Future. Do you remember that?
Yes. Oh my gosh. I laughed so hard.
Well, I was talking about the Doc Brown, except I said it a different way. Instead of Doc Brown, I said something. But I was talking about the Char, and like they had to go 88 miles an hour in like a wagon or something like that. And
yeah, you gave everything just a little twist. Oh, we got to go back and find that.
I know. And like it was funny because people were like, really? Is that real? And then, like Loudon was like, that is the greatest thing I've ever heard in my life. He loved it. Yeah, I love it.
That's awesome.
So you guys want to get in this Embark Beach little update here?
Let's do it.
All right. Let's go down the line here, and let's start out with just the Embark Beach part itself. Now, we're going to kind of debate these, or not so much debate, like argue, but we're going to talk about, you know, kind of our impressions of each one of these little sections. So let's start with the Embark Beach part itself. Ruby, you want to explain a little bit about what this is about and kind of your stance on it?
Sure. Embark Beach is pretty much a central staging area for everything in the game. There's a little section. It's pretty extensive. You can run all over to, like, the Alona section, and there's a little Canthan section, and there's Little Prophecies and Eye of the North, and there's an NPC in each of these areas that you can talk to and say, I want to help in, this is where I want to go play. For example, the one in Alona will give you options, I want to help in Vabi, or I want to help in Korda, or I want to help in the desert. And it's almost like a little drop-down menu is the best way I can think to explain it. And you can go to every specific mission outpost in the game from Embark Beach, which is absolutely so convenient.
Yeah, it takes that fast travel to just the next step, I would say, right?
Yeah, and I guess maybe it says a little bit something about how spoiled we are with Guild Wars fast travel, because I'm just like, oh my gosh, I have to go to Commodon, and then I can go to Relon Refuge? Why do I have to click twice? So they kind of took that away from us and made it even easier. Now, also in each area, there are the Zaishin signposts in each little area, which I love because you don't have to run all over the place to find them. There's the Zaishin Mission, Vanquish, and Bounty. So you can pick those up right away without having to move around too much. So it's all just set up very, very, very conveniently.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask this. Does anyone here think that this is a bad idea? Crickets?
You're getting no argument from me.
Yeah, see, that's what I thought. I didn't think that this was really going to be something that anyone would think was a bad thing. I mean, saving time with the fast travel is always a good thing, but this, like I said, takes it to that next step. And that was something I always liked about Guild Wars. Now, it was kind of that trade-off when they made the game. They said they're not going to have mounts, but they're going to have fast travel. So you don't have to worry about running, to and fro. Guild Wars was actually my first MMO, but once I started playing like other MMOs, I got really tired of, you grind all the way up to level 20 or 30 or whatever to get that mount, and then you go like 20% faster, and it's like, mm-hmm. Okay, I'm still going to take a lot of time, So, I mean, I guess, like you said, we're kind of spoiled, but I don't think it's really like a game breaker type of a thing.
Oh, definitely not, but it is something, it's something that you notice. What I'm thinking of, Sean and I have been playing a lot of Rift, and I have the cool turtle that makes you go 60% faster. Yeah. Still, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's 150 yards away. Seriously? Ugh. And I still will go the 150 yards, but I don't like it. I just want to click things and move.
So it's good to know that we're all pretty much in agreement that this is only a good thing.
Yeah, it is. And, actually, I want to mention, it's a great convenience tool. I mean, that's kind of the central thing. But something that I've noticed in the American districts when I'll just hang out there, like waiting on guildies to do something or something. And I've seen in local chat, people will say, I need Kurzic factions, so I want to do X, Y, or Z mission. And you couldn't do that before. You had to go to that mission outpost and hope for the best. And if you couldn't find anything, hop to the other one. But this allows you, if you want Kurzic faction or Sunspear points or something, you can get all of those missions in one central location.
Yeah. Well, plus, there are a lot of times, we're to the point now where there are so many missions, and there are a lot of times when you're maybe in another outpost getting ready to do something, but maybe you can't find a group, but you know that you also need this other mission. So if someone's like, hey, I need this mission, mission B, and then you're like, oh, well, I was waiting for mission A, but I'm not finding anyone, so I'll just go ahead and go with you to mission B because I need that anyway, So I think that works out well.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing that it centralizes the players so that you can actually find people, because when you've got dozens of missions over several continents, finding people, they're just scattered all over the countryside. It's hard to find, a lot of people in any one area. So being able to find people quickly and easily to go on whatever mission it is, that's great for the community. So,
yeah.
It really encourages grouping.
Yeah. I think just to play like devil's advocate a little bit, that it's not a bad thing, especially since all the veteran players have probably beaten everything yet, but if you want to get anything like really specific done, I think it's a little challenging. I've seen people stand in there for a while, but I think if you're open to, I want to do anything on this continent, you'll get, out there right away. But if you're, I went in there when I was trying to do War and Krita on a character, which is, there's no outpost for that, so I just went to the prophecy thing, so I was like, does anyone want to do this? But I just had to, then the 8 hero parties came out, and then I was able to do it. But that's something else.
So did you get a group at all for War and Krita in Embark Beach? I mean, did you notice that help at all?
I didn't get any help, so I just gave up. But
that's War and Krita is hard to do unless you happen to have guildies or allies doing the same thing at the same time.
But yeah, that's what I figured too, and I was just like, okay. And then the heroes helped for that.
Yeah, the grouping up side of things for Embark Beach is certainly a lot, a very good thing. I think the travel side of things, there are a couple of different ways that they could have gone around doing that. It's, for me, it's really cool and it works well, but I think personally I would have preferred just having all three maps for the campaigns merged into one so that we can then just click around on one map.
Oh, yeah.
I can absolutely see that. That would have been a good way to do it, too. But then you lose the benefit of having all of these grouping possibilities in one area.
Yeah. We haven't, or at least when I've been playing with my guildies, we haven't used Embark Beach all that much yet. Just because we generally sort of will jump into one campaign and do a few things there, so we don't have to switch. We don't need that middle point to switch between things.
Well, the seven hero parties were mentioned already, so let's move into that. Again, does anyone here think that that's a bad idea?
No.
No?
Crickets.
It's just crickets again. Yeah, I think the seven hero parties, the we were talking about this on the last episode, that the only bad thing we can think of is, using exploits and things like that, but they've worked a lot of that out. They have it set up to where you can actually, the last heroes in the group are actually set up to just follow, right? With the order all flag?
Yeah.
Yeah, so
you just order them around the way you want.
Yeah, so you can't individually kind of micromanage them like you can the other ones.
Right. You can still open their panels and micromanage their skills, but you can't position them individually. And I've never, I don't know, I think I've said before I'm a little bit of a lazy player. I've never really bothered setting them individually anyway.
Yeah, I never did either, really.
I mean, if I want them out of combat, I'm just like, all of you, over there now.
Unless you're farming. Like back in the old days of Totemax farming. Do people still do that? I don't know.
I hope not.
I solo farm Vatir in Jaga Moraine, so that's the only farming I have patience for.
I think this is a good idea because of the fact that it allows you to have more choices. If you want to play with people all the time, you can. But if you want to just play by yourself, you don't have to have your friend come in and, give you his heroes and then log out or whatever. Like, happens so many times. But I don't know. I think it's something that should have been in from day one. But I guess at the same time, I can understand why they didn't do it. They didn't want to encourage solo play all the time and exploits and all that.
Well, and I was worried that it would sound the death knell of grouping, but yeah. I haven't found that to be the case. It's a wonderful, wonderful convenience, and as social a player as I am, I've still found myself using it a few times when I just want to hop in and do something and I don't want to wait for everybody else to get their stuff together.
Yeah, well, in my day, there was only bloody henchmen, so, and you could still do most of the content anyway with just henchmen, and heroes made it a little bit easier, and this makes it a little easier still. But it doesn't stop you, if you're still, a not very good player, you're still going to die whether you have henchmen or players or whatever. So
yeah.
I don't think this is game-breaking in any shape or form. So it's just a nice little addition that allows you to kind of have customized heroes. Oh, actually, that's the second part, isn't it? A mercenary heroes, isn't it?
Yeah, you want to get into that. That's actually my favorite part of this entire thing, because mercenary heroes is the part of the update that allows you to basically add your alts to your party. And I made the comparison previously. It's kind of like Dragon Age, where you can, you have your characters and you can switch between them, but you can't switch between them like in Dragon Age, though. But this is cool because you actually play with your alts, with all their equipment, everything. They're in your party. They're part of your team. I mean, you can do this. A lot of people play their accounts kind of like families, so you can, have your family there. And I really like that. I really like the fact that you can do that. But, of course, you have to buy the slots. That's kind of the drawback. And it gets expensive when you buy a full party, right?
44 and change.
Yeah.
Well, to be honest, I think Ren and Ed are doing a great business, you know, decision here, because, you know, if they can squeeze a few extra drops of blood out of the stone, you know, good for them, because that means more money going to Guild Wars 2.
Yeah.
So I'm happy for them.
Yeah, I'm absolutely happy to support them with my cash.
Yeah. I mean, there's always that argument if someone says it's too expensive. It's like, well, how much are you paying a month for this game?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and it's not like you have the choice of $44.95 or nothing.
Yeah, that's true.
You can buy single or a three-pack for much, much less.
Yeah,
the three-pack definitely looks more attractive from my point of view. I haven't actually bought any yet. At first, I was like, yeah, this is an awesome idea. I love it. I even had an idea along those lines a few years back, or, you know, the alt as a hero. But I guess I haven't found I really want it yet, or, you know, I'm fine with my seven heroes at the moment. I don't feel the need to have a fully customized, you know, aesthetic option available to me as well.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, with the amount of heroes that we have available anyway, it's almost purely a vanity item.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people complained when this was first introduced that it would allow you to have seven necro parties and, you know, seven discords or seven this or seven that or seven the other. And I haven't really noticed, I haven't noticed that being a problem at all.
But no, who's that going to be a problem for? Because it's just going to be one person by themselves with their seven necros. It's not affecting anyone else playing the game.
Oh, it's evidently not fair or something. I don't know. Someone in our Thursday night Guild Wars live stream called it the advantage of choice, and that was his problem with it, and I can see his point. You pay your money, you get the gameplay advantage of choice. But like Yo said, it's just by yourself. Who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah. Furthermore, I mean, the problem is it's more of a lack of imagination on the part of the Discord running people, because it's not like you couldn't probably do it with another build if you spent the time to figure it out for yourself with the seven hero parties that you've already been given. You know, the reason you can't do it is because you're a dumbass. You know, don't blame that on anyone else.
Well, content existed before Sabway and Discord Way were flavor of the month. And we did the content then. So something else will be flavor of the month later on. And I just don't think it makes enough of an impact on gameplay in and of itself anyway.
I agree. I think that it's definitely purely vanity. And I mean, I use heroes all the time because, like, I pretty much play solo because, you know, like, I have, like, really random hours to put into Guild Wars, so it's going to be, like, an hour here, 3 hours there. Mm-hmm. Next month there's an hour. But, I wasn't doing, like, Sideway or anything in the Underworld by myself, and I'm still not. And, I mean, I'm not going to buy them because I love my heroes, and I don't love my alts as much as I love my heroes. They have more personality. But I think maybe the only other option to, like, so that we had the set amount was maybe if you made, like, hero costumes. Like, so you made a costume of your alt and you just put it on your hero, but what's done is done, and I think it's fine.
Yeah. Okay. You know, the only thing that I would like to see, and I understand why it doesn't exist, I cannot even imagine the can of worms that would be open with this and the uproar. If I pay for these mercenary heroes, I kind of want access to their inventory after I'm done. And I understand why that can't happen, but
yeah, that's a bit of a shitstorm waiting for turn. So.
It really is, but darn it, if they're taking their share of the drops, that's my hero. That's my Ellie. That's my Necro, and I went into her bags.
Can you imagine if you just made eight times as much as everyone else? Just...
And that's exactly... People would burn ArenaNet's offices down. So I understand why it can't happen, but the logic follows.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're talking about a fantasy world where you can shoot fireballs from your ass, so I don't think logic necessarily applies.
Want my pretend gold.
Maybe, well, you have to consider the rations that you're supplying these soldiers that have increased by eight times, so
Have you seen them? They can't possibly eat that much.
That's why you stick with your heroes and add Norgu to your party.
That explains it. That's where all the food is going.
He's taking all the rations.
I love Norgu.
Norgu and his belly.
Also, it's important to point out that you have to be level 20 to be a mercenary hero. So so that means that essentially your character, in order to add them to your party, to put them in that slot, that mercenary hero slot, they have to be level 20, right?
But you can make them.
Go ahead.
You can make PvP characters into heroes.
Oh, okay. That's the way around that.
Ooh.
Okay.
I have to point out that it says level 20 or above.
Oh, it does.
Yes, it does. That is driving me crazy.
That's just ArenaNet messing with us as usual.
Oh, man. I didn't even pick up on that.
Wow. Nope, it says they have to be level 20 or above.
So, okay, let's start speculating on that. You think they're going to raise the level cap?
It's 80.
God, I hope not.
Now, I called, you know what? My guess, I put this out there a few weeks ago, was a level cap increase of 30.
Oh. Wait, and 30 more or up to 30?
No, up to 30.
Okay.
Gosh. Oh, No. I'm not that ambitious in my speculation. But it's funny because I actually said that on a live stream. And it was almost 50-50 people laughing their butts off at me and other people going, oh, totally. Absolutely. I think Neo from Guild Wars 2 Guru said, oh, there will absolutely be new content that we can level up in.
Hmm. Yeah.
So I don't know. It was interesting, though, because it really was almost a clean split down the middle. People thinking I was insane and people completely agreeing with me.
Well, I suppose if it allowed you to solo, I mean, as in with just your one main character, all the old content, then I would probably be in favor of it.
I don't know. They would have to rebalance the entire game. I mean, that would be. There's so many things that like they built this game to be, and it's like everything they couldn't do in that they're putting into Guild Wars 2. Well, that's fine, but I don't know. I feel like they should just leave the really core main mechanics alone in Guild Wars 1. That's old Sean talking, you know.
Old Sean. Do we need to get off your lawn now? Is it get off your lawn time?
I think so, yeah. Leave my characters alone!
It's just the logic follows for me because, well, the level 20 and above thing sparked it for me.
Yeah.
But, oh look, the level cap is now level 30 and check it out right there in our store. Here's a way to level all your characters at once.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, God.
Don't
even start.
Well?
ArenaNet would burn to the ground again.
Yeah.
Commandos would be outside.
I'm saying it's handy and it's there.
Yeah. They would burn to the ground after everybody bought it, though. I think.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, yeah. We'd scream like stuck pigs and we'd buy it. I will.
I don't really see what we'd seek to get out of increasing the level cap. Mm-hmm. I mean, first of all, if they did it, many of the people still playing Guild Wars, their main characters, depending on how they do it, would probably already be level 30. I mean, we all have like millions of experience points on our mains. So if they increase the cap, just by increasing the threshold of experience points, we'd already pretty much all be automatically at level 30.
That's true.
That's actually a really good point. Hmm.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, if you're level 30, that means, sure, that they can add higher level mobs, but they can already do that just scaled down relative to our current level.
Yeah.
Yeah, so when you look at it that way, it doesn't really add that much, does it?
Yeah.
No. Because, I mean, that's really what they did with War and Kryta. They added much harder content, but kept the level cap the same. So if they increased the level cap and added harder content in scale to that level cap, I don't see how that's any different.
I don't know. That goes back to playstyle, I guess. And, you know, the completionists among us would absolutely have to have level 30. That is the reward in and of itself.
Yeah, I guess that goes totally against what Guild Wars was about when it first came out, though.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I can't stand bloody grind. So, I'd rather go without it myself.
Yeah.
Well, then, don't we already have kind of an extension of levels with the Hall of Heroes? You could technically say we're all trying to get level 50.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See? See?
Yeah, I mean, Glenn's there if you want it, but if you don't want to do it, yeah.
It's okay, yeah. I don't know. I'll kind of be watching that with interest. But you guys you said some stuff I didn't think of at all.
Yeah, I guess just thinking about it now, the only way I could see them going about it that wouldn't make balance too hard and would actually give us extra content would be to add another hard mode level on top, and you can only be level 30 in like super uber hard mode.
Oh, jeez.
That actually sounds like fun.
Then they would have to extend the Hall of Monuments, you know, the points on that, and which, I mean, I guess would be possible, but wow.
Slippery slope.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Well, let's go into the pre-searing part of this update. There was actually a few additions to pre-searing. The first one, the biggest one, I think, is the daily quests. Now, what this does is it allows you, as a pre-searing character who wants to get to level 20, you can actually do a daily quest that will give you experience points. So then you don't have to do the death leveling that was so prevalent before to get that legendary Defender of Ascalon title. Let me ask, do any of you have that title, Legendary Defender of Ascalon?
Not no. yet.
Not yet.
So no, I have a life.
Ah.
I was going to bow down before you. I guess not.
A life?
Yeah. No, it's of course the death leveling before to get that title was insane. I mean, we explained it on the show, but it was allowing Char to kill you to level up, and then you kill them, and you basically do this for months and months and months. Mm-hmm. So now you still have to do invest a lot of time into it, but since they have these quest NPCs now, you do these quests, but they're a daily quest, so it does still take that amount of time. But you can get to level 20 without, allowing Char. And I think one good thing that they, a good point that they made in here is they said, after all, do you really feel like a legendary Defender of Ascalon after letting the Char kill you endlessly? I think that's a good point. So,
right.
So what do you guys think about this?
I'm very torn. I agree with what you just said, and someone in our guild phrased it very, very well. In that, how can you call yourself a legendary defender of Ascalon when you got that title by being murdered 100,000 times?
It's like legendary victim of Ascalon.
Yes. But on the other hand, I don't know. I like a lot what Sean said, that there should be a slightly different title, or it should be called something different if you got it before, because this really does cheapen the title. And I hate saying that because I hate listening to people whine like that. But it really does. That is a title I never in a million years would have had. I mean, I just never, it wasn't anything I had the patience for. I really, really admired everyone who got that title. When you got that title, that was a huge deal.
Yeah.
And it's not anymore. And that kind of bumps me out. And it's not, and I say that I never would have gotten it just to emphasize that it's not because I have the title and I'm whining because more people have it now. It's because that it used to be a huge deal, and it's just another one now. LDOA is popping up; they're popping up all the time now, and it's just almost another clicky title.
Well, I'm not torn at all. I mean, the fact that people would waste their time like this—I mean, you're sure that's what they wanted, but if you're going to grind yourself stupid and just for a title, just for letters under your character. I think you need to rethink your priorities because, just because they've made it more accessible, you did it. So be proud of the fact that you did. But don't whine that everyone else is able to get it. I mean, I did the Legendary Survival title back in the old day, and that was an accomplishment, and they made it easier. So what? That was my choice. I have to live with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems like kind of like a line of things that they're doing to try to get the elitism out of Guild Wars, taking the monk, the healing class out, and then doing this. They're trying to get it away from that, but I think a lot of people really enjoyed that, in their own way. I mean, that's the way they wanted to play it. And I guess, I don't know, I guess they can still do that though, right? I mean, you can still death level, although it's probably insane.
I have no idea why you would do that anymore.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think there's any way to distinguish, like, oh, I death leveled, but, and then everyone would be like, no, you just did the quest. But can someone tell me really quick, how much experience are people getting from these daily quests?
I'm not even sure.
Yeah, the quest for today gives you 1,000 XP. But then, of course, you get additional XP from the enemies that you face.
So, I mean, maybe they could have made it lower, because 1,000, I mean, that's not a huge amount, especially when you have to get, what, I don't even remember how much it was for, like, the original level 20. Like,
for max?
Yeah.
130,000 or something like that.
Still, I mean, by the sounds of it, they've taken it down from what would take months and months to do to maybe a couple of weeks, you know, given the amount of experience. So, I mean, it's still going to require effort, you know. It's not like they're just handing it out, you know, with the char bags or anything. But, you know, but still, I mean, no, if you've made the decision to do something hard that you didn't need to do, that's your decision, you know. Don't whine because people got it easier now.
Yeah.
Back in my day.
I think there are a lot of other elements of Guild Wars that have become, like, similarly as easier, because that would be, like, us all complaining, like, don't add the heroes because we need AI that runs right into battle with a sword as a monk.
That sucks.
I'm going to start an Alicia Preservation Society, and it's going to be all about how we miss her AI. Will you guys join?
Oh, you know what? That reminds me. Something that I really want to see, and I had hoped to see this, and I'm disappointed that we don't, are like sulking henchmen in outposts.
Because they can't feed their families anymore?
Yeah, see, I went like Menlo with a cardboard sign, and...
Well, he's okay because he's integral to the much of the storyline, but...
Yeah, I did visit him a square today. I'm going to kill him myself, I swear. But so, I would have liked to see that. I mean, we've got some cool, quirky little things that the henchmen do in the outposts. Where is it in Eye of the North where Menlo's, like, showing off for all the girls and Sin's pouting off in the corner? But they've got little personalities, and I would have loved to see them react to this abandonment.
Yeah, but, I mean, in general, I'm in favor of them making things generally easier with the heroes or whether it's with titles and so forth, because at the end of the day, we're here to play this game to have fun, you know, and if you grind yourself stupid, I don't know how much fun you're having.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of individual. I mean, you know, if going for Legendary Defender of Ascalon is your cup of tea, great. More power to you.
I think another thing is, like, was that title in it originally? How long has the title been around?
It wasn't the title itself. It was the fact that you got to level 20. That was in there originally. But they didn't introduce titles until later, and then they actually made it that the title. But I think they introduced titles with factions when they came out, so it was like a year later. But before that, I mean, it was still... I think that's when people were starting to figure out that you could do that whole death leveling thing. But ArenaNet said that this is something that, of course, they didn't want people to do, that they didn't, you know, it wasn't by design, essentially.
But they've had, like, years and years where this was the only way, and everyone knew, so maybe it's just that it's been a while, and now more people can have it. I don't know.
Well, and there are two advantages that I see to this trend that I really do like. This is making the game friendlier to new players, and we have a bigger influx of new players in the past year than we have in a very long time. And we want those doors to be more open. We want them to feel more welcome and like these things are more attainable. So I love that. And I think it's helping all of us kind of buff up our Hall of Monuments, which we need. And I assume they are intentional effects of all of this, and I really do like that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, I think the Hall of Monuments is a big part of it.
Yeah.
It doesn't change the way I feel about Legendary Defender of Ascalon, but it is cool.
Well, to keep going in the pre-searing stuff, they also added Kimmy's the Historian, which, you can turn in, you can get your titles there. So like Sweet Tooth, Drunkard, Party Animal, Survivor, stuff like that. So you don't have to actually, because before, didn't you have to go into post to dedicate those?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's cool. And then there's a skill vendor now, where you can buy any skills, any pre-searing skills. And I don't know, I was trying to think, what would be the main purpose of this? Because all you have to do is go back and talk to the original NPC, right, to get your secondary skills back, but...
Well, you have to. I don't know if you have to go questing or what, but it's pure convenience, I think, which is nice.
Yeah. Is that maybe for people who don't lock in their secondary profession? That way, they can keep switching, or do you have to lock it in?
Well, let's see.
Can you switch secondaries now?
No, but you could. You could run around and just have all the quests for all the secondaries, or just go and grab the quest for the secondary to change your profession before you decided on one.
Yeah, that's true. But it says, let's see. Yeah, these are limited to the pre-searing ones themselves. So you can't, you know, use everything you have unlocked on your account.
So you count 55 farm.
Yeah, the catacombs, right?
Although. Protspirit you can get in pre, can't you? I can't remember. I haven't played pre in a long time.
I haven't played Monk in even longer, so I don't
And then, let's see, what else? There was the Drunkard title change, which is...
Oh, hallelujah.
It's a convenience thing. You don't have to sit there and drink and then, you know, build up your points and wait for the point, like, what is it, a minute? A couple minutes per thing? And, you know, you don't have to, like, set up a program to alert you to when, you know, you have to drink next. You literally can just drink everything and get the points.
At once. It's spammable now. And again, hallelujah, it cleared up an entire storage pane in my Zinlai chest. I was so happy.
So does anybody think this is a bad idea?
I don't see how people... is anyone really that mad at it? Because this, so they're just asking you to kind of waste time.
Yeah.
Quests and titles, or I guess not quests, but titles that encourage you to not play, I'm not a fan of.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. You know, I'm wondering, as far as being able to get these titles and get them in your hall in pre now, first of all, I'm really, really happy to see them reaching out like this to the perma-pre community, because I always thought that was pretty cool. But I hated that the people who had characters perma-pre couldn't get into the Hall of Monuments, so that's cool. Has anybody done the math and figured out if you can get 50 to 50, 50 to 50 in pre-searing?
No, you can't.
I'm thinking this as I'm saying it. I'm like, well, you can't have any Sunspear, Kurzik, Luxon titles.
Yeah, exactly. You can't get armor, weapons.
Or heroes. I wonder how far you can go, though.
The only titles you can get are those four, I think, the legendary. Oh, Survivor, I guess.
Yes, Survivor, Drunkard, Sweet Tooth, Party Animal.
Party, that's five.
Exactly. Defender, there's five?
Yeah. And many pets.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's true.
Wouldn't that be ironic now, a Survivor, Legendary, Defender of Ascalon?
After all the screaming, every time somebody said, how many times have we seen people say, I figured out a way to do it, and the screaming, shouting them down was deafening. No, you can't.
Yeah. Does Kimis take you to your Hall of Monuments?
It says you can make dedications to the Hall of Monuments there.
Right, okay.
So it's probably... I don't think you could actually take you there.
So mini-pets you can dedicate through Kimis?
You know, it doesn't say anything about mini-pets. That's why it says titles that you can dedicate include, and then it lists those five.
Yeah.
So it doesn't say that's it.
Because I hadn't heard, I don't remember hearing anything about mini pets being able, you know, being dedicated from pre-searing.
Yeah.
Now I'm curious. I wonder who's got a birthday coming up. I need to check into this. I don't know. From a lore perspective, though, it wouldn't fit for him to take you to your Hall of Monuments because it doesn't exist yet.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You remember, I don't know if you guys remember this, there was an exploit a while back, a couple years ago, where you could take your pre-searing character into, what was it? Oh, the Guild Hall.
And get stuff out of storage.
Really?
Yeah,
I remember that.
You could trade with other characters. So there were people with,
that was a mess.
Like chaos axes and pre-searing and all the, you know, whatever the flavor of the month weapon was back then. And,
Well, and the weapon and armor mods alone, the economy exploded.
It was crazy.
Was that the rollback? Was that one of...
No, that was the Ecto thing.
Oh, yeah, okay.
The famous rollback.
You know what, though? What does it say about Guild Wars that these two events in an almost six-year-old game are still so huge?
Yeah.
That kind of thing is so rare.
They're in the history. They should be included on the timeline.
Oh, yeah.
They absolutely should.
Time when the economy collapsed, but due to Ikta.
The Thunderhead keeps sit in.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the monks sit in. I forgot about that. Yeah.
These are all going in the front of the next book.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's it tickled me to see a reference to one of those in the book.
Well, that's why all the monks were wiped out.
The union disbanded?
Yeah.
Oh!
Well, let's see. There's one more thing I wanted to talk about and get you guys' opinion on. The survival title change. This, again, I think this goes in line with all the rest of these title changes to make it easier to get, you know, 50 of 50 in your Hall of Monuments. And what this is it makes it so that if you die going for your survival title track, you don't have to start all over again, although your experience, you still have to get that same amount of experience. You know, I mean, I don't know if I'm saying that right, but you guys know
still have to get 1,337,000, yeah. I think 500, in between deaths. You cannot die in that time.
From that point you die, you have to start, your experience doesn't start over, but you have to gain, you know, accumulate that much more. So, yeah, I think that's, I personally think this is a great way of doing it, so that you don't have to, you know, go back and play that old content again. Although, I think it's a lot easier to get that experience in lower levels, maybe. So, I don't know.
Well, to me, it just gives you more choice.
Yeah.
As far as what titles to go for.
Yeah, well, as I said before, I had already gone the Legendary Survivor title originally, which was a nerve wracking couple of weeks. But, you know, and I'm fine with it, really, to be honest. I mean, they still have to put in the same amount of work anyway. So, you know, as long as more people can get it, then more people can get things for their Hall of, Whatchamacallit.
Monuments, yeah.
I'm going to call it the Hall of Whatchamacallit now.
Yeah. I would say as my two mains are a self-sacrificing necromancer and an assassin.
Oh.
Yeah, I had completely written off Survivor as any kind of possibility, but I might try for it now. We'll see. But it's still going to be a challenge.
What I thought was funny was a lot of people, when that title came out, a lot of people grabbed their assassins because that was the one that, you know, everybody thought would be the hardest to do. So then everybody did it on their assassins. So you see all these legendary survivor assassins.
Just to prove something.
Yeah, exactly.
You know how they went about doing it?
Not playing?
They all ran SOS.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Or at least that's what one person in our guild started out doing.
Everybody's got the SOS build.
See, Survivor, it irritated me when it first came out because people would be like, I'm going for Survivor, I have to be in the back of the group. And it's like, so we have to protect you, like we're all your bodyguards so that you can get this title.
While you trail along in the background, so we're getting it for you, what do we get?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that was kind of one of the things that I wasn't so keen on when the Survivor changed, because suddenly everyone's going for Survivor. No one wants to do hard mode Vanquishers, no one wants to do hard mode Dungeons. And I myself haven't really been interested in Survivor because it's not on my sort of list of things to do. Mm-hmm. So I still wanted to do all those things. And then I also had this big sort of counter in terms of, you know, it tells you when you type /death how much experience you've had.
Yeah.
And then every time you die, it's like you get a big fail message because you've been reset to zero. Mm-hmm. But no. I'm like, so at first I was not, you know, I was kind of not happy with that. But now I'm just over it. I'm used to it. And everyone else has died as well. So they're all just saving up storybooks and those kind of things that we're all just going to hand in one go to get our title.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's actually what I'm doing now.
I think one really important advantage of this title change is what they mention here, that if you are a character that was around before the Survivor title came about, you can now go for Survivor. You know what I mean? Because before you couldn't do it, because you'd have to start all over again, you know, if you died. So now you can actually go for that on your older characters. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I love that it eliminates the need to reroll, because that's what that's what always just killed me. I like my characters. You know, you get attached to them, and I don't want to kill them off.
Yeah. I think the game does good enough killing you off, right?
Yeah, I'm all good on that front, thanks. I don't want to delete them, though.
Yeah. Well, cool. Did we have anything else we wanted to touch on with this update here?
Crickets.
I think we covered so much.
Yeah, I mean, we skipped over some of the really minor stuff, like login as and ready checks and stuff like that, but I don't think there's any...
The death knell of typing in 1 into chat.
Yay!
1 is now an archaic...
It's just a number.
Yeah.
It's going to be a reference in Guild Wars 2.
Oh, yes, I hope so.
You know, I did that in another game once. I can't even remember what it was. I just... You know, automatic. You just do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And everybody was like, "What?"
I've done it in so many games.
And yeah, and I was like,
other people will like say it back to me. It's like a Guild Wars lingo, and they'll be like, "I know what you've played." Like,
that's awesome. Well, cool. What about recent updates since then? I mean, there have been a few. Are there any other topics on that we want to talk about?
Elementalist attunements got buffed. My dual attunement Ellie is so happy.
Anything for Ellie's, huh?
Anything for Ellie's.
Did that happen? I remember there was a preview for that, but has
it
that
was real,
up?
Yeah. They recharge faster, so when your enchantments get stripped, it's less of a big deal. Because you can just recast. You don't have to wait as long to sit there and recast them. I love it.
Now, was that in the March skill balance, or was that recent?
Yeah.
That was in March.
Yeah.
I'm, like, looking to see exactly what the date was. I don't know. I just know that I'm happy now.
Are we talking any Guild Wars 2 news on this one, or are we saving it for the next?
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to kind of work into. I know, Yo, you had some points you wanted to make about Guild Wars 2, so let's kind of move into that. And you know, we have a few minutes left here, and let's unleash the fury of Yo.
Woohoo!
Oh, okay, first, EMF the kids, I might be carpet F-bombing here, so... But what I wanted to go over is that I had a bit of a different perspective on Guild Wars 2, I've always had. And it was kind of related to a conversation you and Ruby had about how players were content for other players. And I've never felt that way ever. I'm what I would consider a non-social gamer. I play games because they're games, and I don't get into MMOs because of the because of other people. You know, I play them effectively solo, and so do a lot of people. And generally speaking, when you play MMOs as if they were single-player games, you realize that most MMOs are crap games. They just, you know, they don't, I mean, what do you do in these games? Seriously, you level for the sake of leveling and grind yourself stupid. There's no storyline, music is usually pretty dull, combat is virtually non-existent, and you just go around doing a whole lot of nothing. It makes sense when you're playing with other people, but when you're not playing with other people, there's just nothing there to really draw you in or keep you going. But when I look at Guild Wars 2, I'm starting to see it actually getting to a point where it could be a truly great game, regardless whether you're playing it with people or without, regardless of social features, that they could easily turn around and sell as a single-player game and do very well for themselves. But I don't think they're quite there yet. From what I see that they've done is that they're getting close to what I would call approachable depth, where it's very easy to get into, but then once you're in, you can just keep on going and going and going and going. Approachability, what I'm talking about there is, in this case, is storytelling. The story will basically get you in, you can get involved with the world, get invested in it, and have a lot of fun while doing it. And you're going to get a good 50 to 100 hours of gameplay out of it easy. And then there's other things in there as well, such as the business model of you buy it once, you don't have to pay for it again, and lots of other little mechanics that make it just easy to get into. Depth, however, is a little more complicated. It's where you have a mechanic which people can generally perpetually make content for themselves. For instance, other people are generally a form of depth. Playing with people, you can do all sorts of things, and it doesn't really matter what the game is. That you can just generate content for each other by playing with other people. Another example of this is user-generated content, where you literally make content for each other, the Elder Scrolls series, for instance. But unfortunately, Guild Wars 2, well, besides the other players thing, Guild Wars 2 doesn't have the user-generated content, so we're going to ignore it. What I think they're capable of doing, but don't quite have, is depth of combat. Now, StarCraft 1 and 2 are good for this because it puts you in a situation where you as the player have a bunch of tools at your disposal, and there's a million different ways you can use these tools. But then you put up against an opposition where which also has that amount of tools and is working against you, and it's basically, here's the tools, there's the world, go. Figure it out for yourself. And the interactions, therefore, are limitless. There is no better than or higher than, it's just what you know and your personal experience and skills versus that of whatever you're up against. And as such, it basically makes combat extremely enjoyable. I mean, have any of you played StarCraft or StarCraft 2 by any chance?
No.
Anyway, I have not.
Me either.
Okay. Well, from the thing about it is that because you've put players into a position where they can actually get good at it, you can see just how much time and energy a player can put into it by how good they are. That's why, in terms of esports, it does exceedingly well. It's basically a sport now, for intents and purposes. And Guild Wars 2, for what they've got, is that they've got the tools, they've got the player tools, so you can do all sorts of weird and interesting fun things. And in terms of PvP, they're going to have very esport-worthy things. Guild Wars 1 was very close to esport-worthy as well, because it was basically timing, positioning, all these intricate little things, as well as just working with a well-disciplined team. And when you watch this kind of thing, it is very, very fun to watch. And you don't even have to know that much about the game in order to enjoy it. However, the problem is Guild Wars 2 is more of a PvE game, as you could probably agree. And the part I see is the problem is that the players have tools, but the opponent that you're up against, the AI, is nowhere to be found. The AI is unfortunately really not very good. It doesn't actually do anything. It charges at you, stops, attacks, and that's about it. It doesn't actually have any real depth or complexity to it, so that you're just repeating the same actions over and over again. And so, yeah, I've got these tools. I can dodge. I can do all these interesting things, but I don't really need to. And that, I see, is just a fundamental flaw of the game design, where if the AI was better, then you'd be able to actually have challenge and have engagement and actually be able to get good at the game. But as it stands, it's like I'm fighting a wet paper sack. You know, there's just nothing to it. It's like trying to get better at walking. You can say it's all about positioning and movement till you're blue in the face, but besides putting one foot in front of the other, there's really nothing else to learn. And I experienced this through Guild Wars 1, where I did a lot of playing around with skills and builds and so forth, but at the end of the day, it did not matter. There was no getting better at this game. There was simply, besides being able to kill the enemies, there was nothing to get good at.
So you're essentially saying that your problem with MMOs and potentially Guild Wars 2 is the AI and...
not necessarily. I mean, my problem with them is that they just lack depth in general. Most other MMOs don't even tell a damn storyline, for Christ's sake. You know, there's nothing to get into, let alone to keep you around. But Guild Wars 2 already has the storytelling, and most of the mechanics that they would need to have depth, they just miss this one little part. And it's basically, to sum it up, is the AI.
Yeah.
And, well, I mean, you go ahead.
Well, I just think that, I mean, you're approaching this from an admittedly solo player. You know, you said that you don't solo, or you don't play with the group, so you kind of consider yourself solo. And I think that it's kind of missing the point, because that's what the people who play this in groups.
I knew you were going to go there.
Well, I mean, their content. That's what they're.
Yeah, the thing is, I mean, but it doesn't have to be the only content. I mean, just because it appeals mainly to social players doesn't mean it can't also apply to non-social gamers. I mean, we're still a fairly large community of players, you know, that play single-player games and play RPGs and etc. So why not also have that in Guild Wars 2? Because as it stands, it's already got the RPG element.
Yeah.
So why not go a step further and make take it from being just a good game on its own right to being a great game on its own right?
Well, here's what I don't understand is I don't see why MMOs have to cater to so many different types of players when other games don't have to cater to MMO players. You know what I mean? Like, you don't go buy Fallout and then there's like zombies standing around waiting to be farmed.
Well,
you know,
that would be
and
awesome.
That's MMO mode, I guess. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I mean, to be fair, I mean, other games aren't trying to keep you around for weeks and months on end. I mean, when I play an RPG, I'm expected to get maybe 50 to 100 hours out of it, and then done, move on to the next game. An MMO is trying to keep me around potentially for months, if not years at a time. So, I mean, is it that much to ask to, say, cough up the good stuff?
Well, I think that they're trying to go there. I mean, I think Guild Wars AI has been a little better just from the videos I saw. I don't know. I've never played it. Mm. But I don't know if you've ever played the action MMO Vindictus.
Played it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Vindictus goes down the same kind of vein as Monster Hunter, but doesn't go anywhere near long far enough. And then it's also bogged down by lack of content, copious amounts of grind, other things, as well as being local only to US servers. So using a proxy server every time to get into the game is a pain in the ass, but
I think it's just hard to control, like, all of those, like, mechanics and, like, that great system while also having that many people doing it at the same time. Like, I don't think technology is there yet.
Well, I don't know. Technology definitely is there, I think, because the AI in Guild Wars 2 definitely moves smoothly enough, but it's more of just a different way of thinking from what I can tell. Is that, like, Sean, you were fighting You played the demo, and you saw you're fighting a mob bird, and basically it just came up and just kept picking at you, basically, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I was too busy trying to figure out how to play
press
the six. Character.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to find the sixth button. But I also ran into some Okarts, and they did some pretty crazy stuff to me. So, yeah, I mean, I know what you're saying here, and I do agree to a point that, you know, you look around on a field and you see all these creatures just, you know, walking in circles waiting to be killed, and you're like, are you kidding me? Like, this is, like, I kill this group, and then I go over and I kill this group, and like, I'm 5 feet away from this other group, and they don't see me fighting their cousins, you know, right here.
Well, it's not really that. It's more that when you get into combat, they just seem to do the same actions over and over again. Where, like, for example, instead of a mob bird just running up and attacking you and then stopping the attack, why isn't its movement its attack? So, like, instead of running to you, it jumped at you. So it might leap from point A to point B. So even if it were missing you, even if it missed you, it would end up on the other side of you. So now you, instead of having to target something that's in front of you, you have to turn around if you want to engage it. You know, simple little things like that.
Have you played Darkfall at all?
No, I haven't.
I think it's the closest thing you're going to find. Like, in Darkfall, the mobs, they like pride themselves on their mob AI.
Yeah.
And the mobs, they swerve and they run away at some point, and they'll like call the other mobs to come over, and all the other mobs will come over. And yeah, I think that's
yeah, they have good AI in that game.
Yeah, I mean, even if it was something as simple as that, because I want to be able to be put in a position where I have to dodge, I have to look around, I have to pay attention to what's going on, and, you know, and it's all these subtle things like timing and movement and positioning. And at the moment, I look at Guild Wars 2's AI, and it just doesn't really do that, you know. It just seems that you're being thrown up against enemies that don't really do more than just straightly, you know, just attack you over and over again. And every battle's like 30 seconds in length. It's like...
Yeah, I think you should check out some other MMOs. I mean, there are a lot out there. Like, Darkfall, exactly. I think that would be a good one. And just because everything... I mean, I know what you're saying. There is that kind of usual MMO mechanic, but a lot of them are straying from that, especially lately, to set themselves apart.
Yeah, that's true.
I would say check some other ones out. Definitely.
Yeah, I don't know. But I'm still wanting Guild Wars 2 to actually have depth, because as it stands... It's just an above-average RPG to me. I mean, I will play it for 50 to 100 hours, go through the storyline a couple of times, and then I'm going to drop it like a sack of hammers, because there's nothing to get good at, there's nothing to improve upon other than playing through the content, and they themselves admitted during the PAX East panel that all they have is content. They have the storyline, which is great, by all means. You know, all RPG, quote-unquote, MMOs should be doing this. Other than that, they had mini quests. Who gives a crap? They had dungeons, which only really apply to social players or people who already have an established group, so doesn't apply to me. And PvP, and I don't have a competitive bone in my body, and it only applies to certain people. So, and well, by all means, PvP will have depth, you know. But in terms of PvE, there's really nothing there.
Yeah.
In defense of it. I think where I see a bit of depth coming in is in how you play whichever profession you decide to play. Just from what we've seen, and I know the problem for you there is that once you've mastered it, that's it. There's nothing more to get better at. But I think then, you know, from what we've seen, each profession plays so differently from the other, and they have such, you know, nuances to them where... A bad player can't be very successful, and a good player is going to stand out because they know, you know, they know the way the profession works in and out. And I guess once you've mastered that, yeah, the depth is gone to a certain degree. But then you've got seven other professions that you can move on to.
True. I suppose, I mean, that is definitely true, but that's definitely on the player side of things, you know. There's a lot of stuff there that you could master, but what's the drive to make you want to master it? What's that opposition? What's that thing you're up against that's going to challenge you? And I don't know how much challenge there really is going to be. It's going to be more fairly contrived situations where they just throw lots of monsters at you, and I suppose that can be challenging to a degree, but that's more repeating yourself rather than I have to pay attention to its movements. I have to dodge just like at a certain timing. I have to time my attacks, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. I don't think I can personally, because I haven't played the demos and haven't sort of watched the videos in such depth, I don't think I could make a judgment as to whether I would need to pay attention, like, to... For example, the Shatterer and what he's doing. And yeah, I guess the big bosses, they are going to have that a bit more depth to them. But I guess, once again, you kind of want that in every single mob so that
well,
you've
not,
got
not
that
necessarily.
Depth.
Not necessarily. I mean, even if it was something like a Moa bird would leap at you, and so it position changes quite dramatically when it does that. Mm-hmm. So as far as paying attention, I just have to change my angle. Rather than just face this one thing that's in front of me the whole time. Something a little simple like that, but for bigger monsters, like the Shatterer, them not standing in one spot would be a great start. You know, how about, you know, charging at you? How about, you know, I don't know, shooting a blast that sends you flying 15 feet if you get hit by it? Things like that. I mean, if it moved around and kept you having to reposition yourself just to not die, then okay. But... When I watched the Shatterer video, which, to be honest, it was an early demo, it was standing in one spot, letting itself die.
Yeah.
So, I think there's room to improve, let's put it that way.
Well, I'm hoping that maybe Guild Wars 2 will surprise you, you know, because it, you know, it hasn't released yet, and only, you know, Ruby and I have played it only for a couple minutes, so we don't really know, you know, about the depth or anything, but I'm hoping it surprises you.
You know, to be honest, I want to be wrong on this. I want to be completely, flatly wrong because I want it to be an epic game. I want it to go down in history and just blow away the competition.
Yeah.
But I'm operating on the assumption where if I don't see it, then they may not get it. They may not have it there. So I'm going to do whatever I can to influence it, to push them in the direction that to make it as good of a game as possible. And, I mean, to that end, what I'd like to people to do is at least talk about it, because I don't see people talk about AI or things like that at all, or depth at all. Maybe I'm looking in the wrong places, but I just want people to talk about it, to blog about it, to email about it, to podcast about it. And, you know, I mean, as to what I'm doing, I've enrolled myself in a Future Poly course, which is, Future Poly is the, a tuition course that ArenaNet themselves set up and are teaching, which is great on them, and it's extremely cheap. I highly recommend it. Go out and check it out if you're interested in learning art and 3D modeling, etc. And I'm going to learn how to be a better artist than what I am now, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to make ArenaNet hire me, and then I can beat them over the head with this directly. So, you know, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do the nuclear option. I'm going to do whatever the hell I can to try to make this game as good as possible. Awesome. And I think depth is a place where they need to improve upon. Yeah. I mean, they've already done an excellent job. They've put themselves into an excellent position to do this. So why not go, you know, why not go through that door that they've opened?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, what's funny is I think that they've hired, I watched a panel with them one time, and they said that they hired some people who were, like, emailed them all the things that were wrong with the game, and they were like, well, we're hiring that person, you know, because they wanted, they kind of, I mean, I'm not saying they're going to, you know, hire you right now, but I'm just saying that it's funny how they do kind of operate like that.
Yeah, I mean, having listened to some of them speak, you know, when they're teaching the course and all that, I mean, they're a great bunch of guys. You know, they generally get a lot of this, but at the end of the day, they're people. They make mistakes as much as everyone else, and this isn't something that's overly wide, well-known in the industry. I mean, AI is still something we're sort of feeling around with. We don't really quite know. And depth is something that's usually hit or miss, you know.
Yeah.
But depth can do a great thing for a game. I mean, StarCraft was around for, what, 13 years, and people continue to play it, you know, because it's just got so much depth.
Yeah.
You know, I would love to be able to play Guild Wars in 3 years, no stops, no problem, you know, but I don't think it can do that where it is now. So I hope they take their time and get it done right.
Well, cool. I think that was some good stuff there, you know, stuff that hopefully we'll hear some feedback in the comments and other emails. But we should probably wrap this up. We're about almost an hour and a half. But if anyone wants to send us email, you can send it to Sean, S-H-A-W-N, at guildcast.com, or Ruby, if you're really bored, you could send it to Ruby. R-U-B-I at guildcast.com. We love Ruby. Also, we have the Twitter and Facebook pages and the main page at guildcast.com or guildcast.wordpress.com. So that's about it from us. And I want to thank you all for coming on the show. It was a lot of fun. And we'll have to do this again sometime.
Well, thank you for having me.
Oh, we'll make it better next time.
So again, thanks everyone. Until next time, this is Sean.
I'm Ruby.
I'm Christian. And I'm the other Christian. See Scroll Run.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
Later.